Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 199. Now thank we all our God with grateful hearts and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom the world rejoices, who from the days of yore hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Hymn number 199. The scriptural will be given by Imogene from Australia.
The Bible, 2 Corinthians. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also, that ye receive not the grace of God in vain, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in tumults, in labours, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armour of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father,
which art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 214. O God, whose presence glows in all, within, around us, and above, thy word we bless, thy name we call, whose word is truth, whose name is love. Hymn number 214.
Oh, God, whose presence
welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin each Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson, other topics that need to be covered, and learn how to practice better Christian Science. And we had another really good one this morning. So if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. And you will also be able to find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 a.m. every Sunday morning. And that Sunday school is available to children just about anywhere. It has its own dedicated teleconference number. Many of our Sunday school students do not live in the area, and they attend via telephone. That means that if you don't live in the area, but you have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend. Just call the church. We'll give you the number for the Sunday school, and our Sunday school teachers will be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives vastly improved through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services and meetings, we have a nursery available for infants and toddlers. So if you do come in person, you can bring the whole family. We have a total of 20 different websites in 20 different languages. Each contains the very finest Christian Science literature. And as a result, people from around the world are finding the healing truth of Christian Science, are finding our church, and we are very grateful for those of you who have found Christian Science. And one of the articles that I'd like to point out that's being featured on our English language website, a very good article by Edward Kimball entitled "Declaring What Is True." Very important. Everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. Now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from the Christian Science textbook, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given by Sylvia from Australia.
Page 612, A Remarkable Case. 9 years ago, my only child was hovering between life and death. Some of the best physicians in Boston had pronounced his case incurable, saying that if he lived, he would always be an invalid and a cripple. One of the diseases was gastric catarrh. He was allowed to eat but very few things, and even after taking every precaution, he suffered to the extent that he would lie in spasms for half a day. He also had rickets, physicians saying that there was not a natural bone in his body. It was while he was in what seemed to be his greatest agony, and when I was in the darkest despair, that I first heard of Christian Science. The bearer of the joyful tidings could only tell me to come and hear of the wonderful things that Christian Science was doing. I accepted the invitation, for I was willing to try anything to save my child. And the following Friday evening, I attended my first meeting, which was in the Mother Church of Christ Scientist. Long before the service began, every seat was filled, which was amazing to me, being an ordinary weekly meeting. And that night, I realized from the testimonies given that Christian Science was the religion for which I had been searching for years. The next day, I went to find a practitioner, but was unable to get the one who had been recommended, he being too busy. On my way home, I thought of some of the testimonies which I had heard the night before, of people being healed by simply reading Science and Health. I resolved at once to borrow a copy, and not dreaming of the sacrifice that my friend would make by conferring such a favour, I went and asked her for a loan of Science and Health. I never saw anyone part so reluctantly with a book as my friend did with her copy of the textbook. I read it silently and audibly, day and night, in my home, and although I could not seem to understand it, yet the healing commenced to take place at once. The little mouth which had been twisted by spasms grew natural, and the child was able to be up, playing and romping about the house as any child should. About this time, we decided to move to the far west. I was young in science at the time, and my husband greatly feared that the journey would cause a relapse for the child, but instead he continued to improve. I constantly read the Bible, Science and Health, and miscellaneous writings, the 2 weeks we travelled, and we were the only ones in our car who throughout the journey did not get train sick. The child's limbs grew perfectly straight. He ate anything he wanted, and for years he has been a natural, healthy child in every way. He has passed through some of the worst forms of contagion, untouched and unharmed. I had been reading Science and Health several months before I gave any thought to myself and my numerous complaints. I had never been very strong, and some of my ailments were supposed to be hereditary and chronic. Hence I dragged through many tedious years with a belief in medical laws and hereditary laws resting upon me. Just before I commenced reading Science and Health, I spent a half day in having my eyes examined by one of the healing oculists in Boston. His verdict was that my eyes were in a dreadful condition and that I would always need to wear glasses. In the meantime, I commenced to read Science and Health, and when I thought of my eyes, I had no need for glasses. The years that I have been in science, I have used my eyes incessantly, night as well as day, doing all kinds of trying work and without requiring the aid of glasses. I was healed of all my complaints while studying the truth for my child, and many of them have never returned. Those that appeared simply came to the surface to be destroyed. Teeth have been restored and facial blemishes removed, unconsciously, simply by reading Science and Health. All of this, however, is nothing to compare with the spiritual uplifting which I have received, and I have everything to be thankful for. M.T.W., Los Angeles, California.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 8 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Truth. The golden text is from John. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The responsive reading is from Psalms. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb.
Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward.
Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people.
For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. I will read from the Bible. Proverbs. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. 1 Kings. Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them, therefore, give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many. And call on the name of your gods, and put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran all about the altar, and it filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. Psalms. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. 3 John. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Florence from Georgia will now read.
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. The time for thinkers has come. Truth, independent of doctrines and time-honored systems, knocks at the portal of humanity. Contentment with the past and the cold conventionality of materialism are crumbling away. Ignorance of God is no longer the stepping stone to faith. The only guarantee of obedience is a right apprehension of Him whom to know aright is life eternal. Though empires fall, the Lord shall reign forever. Since the author's discovery of the might of truth in the treatment of disease as well as of sin, her system has been fully tested and has not been found wanting. But to reach the height of Christian Science, man must live in obedience to its divine principle. To develop the full might of this science, the discourse of corporeal sense must yield to the harmony of spiritual sense, even as the science of music corrects false tone and gives sweet concord to sound. Christian Science brings to light truth and its supremacy, universal harmony, the entireness of God good, and the nothingness of evil. It is ignorance and false belief based on a material sense of things which hide spiritual beauty and goodness. Understanding this, Paul said, neither death, nor life, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. This is the doctrine of Christian Science, that divine love cannot be deprived of its manifestation or object, that joy cannot be turned into sorrow, for sorrow is not the matter of joy, that good can never produce evil, that matter can never produce mind nor life result in death. The perfect man, governed by God, his perfect principle, is sinless and eternal. Harmony is produced by its principle, is controlled by it, and abides with it. Divine principle is the life of man. Man's happiness is not, therefore, at the disposal of physical sense. Truth is not contaminated by error. Harmony in man is as beautiful as in music, and discord is unnatural, unreal. When the final physical and moral effects of Christian Science are fully apprehended, the conflict between truth and error, understanding and belief, science and material sense, foreshadowed by the prophets and inaugurated by Jesus, will cease and spiritual harmony reign. The lightnings and thunderbolts of error may burst and flash till the cloud is cleared and the tumult dies away in the distance. Then the raindrops of divinity refresh the earth. As St. Paul says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, of spirit. The chief stones in the temple of Christian Science are to be found in the following postulates: that life is God, good, and not evil; that soul is sinless, not to be found in the body; that spirit is not and cannot be materialized; that life is not subject to death; that the spiritual real man has no birth, no material life, and no death. The eternal truth destroys what mortals seem to have learned from error, and man's real existence as a child of God comes to light. Truth demonstrated is eternal life. In Christian Science, a denial of truth is fatal, while a just acknowledgement of truth and of what it has done for us is an effectual help. If pride, superstition, or any error prevents the honest recognition of benefits received, this will be a hindrance to the recovery of the sick and the success of the student. Christian Science speedily shows truth to be triumphant. All the evidence of physical sense and all the knowledge obtained from physical sense must yield to science, to the immortal truth of all things. Truth cannot be contaminated by error. The statement that truth is real necessarily includes the correlated statement that error, truth, and likeness is unreal. The suppositional warfare between truth and error is only the mental conflict between the evidence of the spiritual senses and the testimony of the material senses. And this warfare between the spirit and flesh will settle all questions through faith in and the understanding of divine love. Some people yield slowly to the touch of truth. Few yield without a struggle, and many are reluctant to acknowledge that they have yielded. But unless this admission is made, evil will boast itself above good. The Christian Scientist has enlisted to lessen evil, disease, and death. And he will overcome them by understanding their nothingness and the allness of God or good. Sickness to him is no less a temptation than is sin and he healed them both by understanding God's power over them. The Christian Scientist knows that there are errors of belief which truth can and will destroy. When we wait patiently on God and seek truth righteously, he directs our path. Imperfect mortals grasp the ultimate or spiritual perfection slowly. But to begin aright and to continue the strife of demonstrating the great problem of being is doing much. No impossible thing do I ask when urging the claims of Christian Science. But because this teaching is in advance of the age, we should not deny our need of its spiritual enforcement. Mankind will improve through science and Christianity. The necessity for uplifting the race is further to the fact that mind can do it. For mind can impart purity instead of impurity, strength instead of weakness, and health instead of disease. Truth is an alterative in the entire system and can make it every whit whole. If you launch your bark upon the ever agitated but healthful waters of truth, you will encounter storms. Your good will be evil spoken of. This is the cross. Take it up and bear it, for through it you win and wear the crown. Pilgrim on earth, thy home is heaven. Stranger, thou art the guest of God. Truth is always the victor.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 254. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. O'er waiting harp strings of the mind, there sweeps a strain, low, sad, and sweet, whose measures bind the power of pain, and wake a white-winged angel throng of thoughts, illumined by faith, and breathed in raptured song, with love perfumed. Hymn number 254.
How many times can you hear the same lie before you start to believe it? The enemy keeps whispering to me, I swear these days that's all I'm hearing. I used to know who I was, now I look in the mirror, now I'm not so sure. Lord, I don't want to listen to the lie anymore. The truth is I am my Father's child. I make him proud and I make him smile. I was made in the image of a perfect king. He looks at me and wouldn't change a thing. The truth is I am truly loved by a God who's good when I'm not good enough. I don't And that's the truth. When I fear that there's so much noise living rent-free in my head, heaven finds me a still small voice and it sounds like grace instead. You remind me who I am when I look in the mirror and I'm not so sure. Lord, I don't want to listen to the lies anymore. The truth is I am my Father's child. I make him proud and I make him smile. I was made in the image of a perfect king. He looks at me and wouldn't change a thing. The truth is I am truly loved by a God who is good when I'm not good enough. I don't belong to the lies, I belong to you. And that's the truth. I know who I am, and I know who you are, and I hold the truth inside my heart. I know the lies are always gonna try and find me, but I've never been so sure. The truth is I am my Father's child. I make him proud and I make him smile. I was made in the image of a perfect king. I looked at me and wouldn't change a thing. The truth is I am truly loved by a God who's good when I'm not good enough. I don't belong to the lies, I belong to you. I belong to you. That's the truth.
Let's now sing hymn number 293. Rock of ages, truth divine, be thy strength forever mine. Let me rest secure on thee, safe above life's raging sea. Rock of ages, truth divine, be thy strength forever mine. Hymn number 293.
Rock I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. First Corinthians. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen.